from the Triple M studios.
God, it's all happening.
This is the Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M.
Gee, this is a little bit frightening. Mm-hmm. Under the headline, 44-year-old virgin.
Oh.
What's happened? 44-year-old man has revealed his plans for when he has sex for the first time. I suppose you're entitled to reveal your plans when you're 44.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mature enough to have imagined it several times, I would have thought.
No doubt.
Surely it would get, if you get that old, it would get to a point where then you're just overthinking it, and then it kind of, it's become so much more than what it needs
too
to be.
Too much pressure.
So much pressure.
Putting on yourself.
I don't know how you get to 44.
Neither do I. I wouldn't be telling anyone.
There must be opportunities between, say, 18 and 44.
He's done other things.
Has he?
Yeah.
What sort of stuff?
Mm. Let's find out.
I mean, it looks like there's grabs coming up.
All right. Stephen Kinnard.
Kinnard? Kinnard.
First name Fart.
Oh.
First name Fart. You can say Fark. F-A-R-K.
There's already a K in the Kinnard.
Yeah.
You don't need the K.
You can say F-A-R-K, can't you,
nah,
DC?
Really?
Kinnard?
All right.
Okay.
Never had sex before.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he's sworn off sex or he doesn't care about ever having it.
Good
well, that's
him.
Good news.
Yeah.
On an episode of Lad Bible's TV Honesty Box series, we don't need stuff like that for future.
Sorry.
Stephen reflects on why he's not had sex yet, noting there's a big question mark over that.
Right.
I'm not socially awkward. I don't really have any funny habits that would be classed as weird. I'm sociable and I've got a wide range of friends. I don't believe a single word of
I
that.
I do.
No, I don't.
I really.
And I'm just having a look at the photo of Fark, Mr. Kinnard himself.
Stephen.
I'm starting to understand why he might be a 44-year-old virgin popping a collar out of a out of a Lacoste.
Little pullover.
Pullover.
Yeah, look, it's not a great look.
Well, that's going to keep you a virgin.
No, it won't.
You've got to tuck that collar back in under
don't.
The jumper, pop a collar like that. Who do you think you are, Mark War? And I would consider myself very normal, but very shy, and especially shy when I talk to women.
Right, okay.
Stephen.
It's a confidence thing.
Steven.
It is a confidence,
thing.
If Fark finds it difficult to chat with ladies,
yeah,
Steven.
Maybe he needs a wingman.
Maybe.
I'll do it.
Well, he needs a makeover to start.
Are you getting cold?
Filing you.
This Marty was dancing around.
I think that would help.
I'm dancing around.
Bok Choy's just gone straight to the heart of the matter.
He's ugly.
He does. He does need a makeover. This place.
Like in terms of clothing.
Yes,
Marty
absolutely.
Says there is a lid for every pot, and I think that outfit's completely fine.
The outfit's not fine, and he needs another set of frames.
He does need new frames.
Yeah. While Stephen hasn't gone all the way, he has been with women.
Yeah.
Well, kissing, and you know, we've cuddled, and. Just hands, let's say, but nothing else. But I've been told I was quite a good kisser.
Hands?
Good. Troy.
I've been told I'm quite a good kisser. I don't, I don't think he has been. I don't think he's ever been told that. Unless he's kissing himself in the mirror.
Practice.
You're such a good kisser.
Steven.
Put your hands. Do things with your hands. You're a beautiful kisser.
Touching hands.
Stephen explains he plans to have sex when he finds the right partner.
That's
and
important.
When he does find that person he has, he'll be totally honest about being a virgin and make sure they feel comfortable as well.
Nice.
He hopes that he can bring awareness to other adult virgins out there.
Well, I have done some reading on it. And yes, you find there are a lot of people out there, men and women, I think. It's surprising, actually, how many there are. And I really do hope by doing this that it reaches some of them. And can give him some hope.
No.
The Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M.
Right now, a story from the subcontinent, Marty.
I love stories from the subcontinent. India's much derided potholes, which have caused everything from annoyance and exasperation to injuries and even deaths, have turned out to be a lifesaver for an 80-year-old man. This is according to a claim his family have made.
Yeah.
Right.
Declared dead by doctors, the body of Darshan Singh Brah was being taken from Pit Italia to near his gnome, near his gnome,
his gnome,
near his garden gnome.
Garden.
They just shoved it out to the front yard. They went, here you go, put whack him near his gnomes. They loved him. Near his home in Carnal, Carnal Knowledge, I think is its full title, were mourning relatives, where mourning relatives had gathered. I better get a lot
yeah,
better.
Come on.
I better get a lot yeah, better.
Maybe this will help.
Oh, that's what I need.
It actually will.
You pre-read this sheet, though, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, I pre-read it. I read it last night.
Yeah, good.
Where mourning relatives are gathered when the ambulance hit a pothole.
Oh, dear.
The ambulance has hit a pothole.
Yeah.
Darshan had been on a ventilator for 4 days when doctors said that his heart had stopped and he was taken off the ventilator and declared dead.
Okay.
This is Darshan.
And he was being transferred to
His grandson, who was with him in the ambulance, noticed him moving his hand and started to sense a heartbeat and asked the ambulance driver to head to the nearest hospital, and they declared him alive.
Oh.
Declared him alive?
Declared him alive.
He's alive.
Has this been translated?
They could have, of course.
Yeah,
they might have just made a mistake. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he wasn't really dead in the first place.
Oh, no, he was dead as.
He was dead as.
Maybe he was playing dead.
Sounds like they'd given up on him.
I don't think he was.
Fish. Maybe they gave up on him. I don't know.
They took him off the ventilator.
They took him off the ventilator.
Why did the grandson have to give the ambulance driver the directions to the hospital?
He
asked the ambulance driver to head to the nearest hospital.
Where were they going?
Mm. To the...
They were going to Portsea.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Marty, Will Anderson.
Oh,
yes, he is with us.
So lovely
good
to see you.
Yeah.
I know. This is so nice to be in here. Thank you so much
for
having
good
me.
You look good. You look well.
Mm-hmm.
We were just discussing what a beautiful head of hair you've got and the new haircut that you're rolling with at the moment. Stunning, mate.
Yeah, I believe, well, I mean, there's a bit of a debate about what it's called. Some people call it a faux hawk and some people call it a midlife crisis. So which of those two do you think it is, Marty? I reckon
I
it might be the
it's
second
a faux
one.
Hawk. I can't see you having a midlife crisis.
No,
you're too young.
Mate, no, I'm 50. Two weeks into it, nailing it. Honestly.
Did you have a 50th?
No, yeah, this is what I did for my 50th. You ever heard of a colonoscopy?
What a party.
Because I've had one.
Three on Tuesday.
I was like one of the first ones in, they said. Like, they said, this is one of the closest after 50. I was in 2 days after.
Good man.
And which meant that for my 50th birthday, because I hadn't investigated the process of the colonoscopy, people should get them. I honestly highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Because also, victimless crime.
Absolutely. Like
if they hadn't had photos of evidence, I would not know it happened because they knock you out.
Oh, no.
And then they just go in. They just have a look around. You
and
know,
then you wake up and get a biscuit.
Right. Best like white bread egg sandwich you'll ever eat in your entire life is that post.
You know, when I got mine done, the guy goes, now you're going to go to sleep, you know, in 10 seconds. And then I could just hear Bruno Mars in the background. And I thought, Jesus, I hope that isn't the last song I ever hear.
I didn't even get the countdown. This is, oh, by the way, if I thought I was, you know, you get a bit older, Marty. You're like, maybe I don't have the, you know, cultural currency that I might have had at the peak of my career.
Sure.
Well, it turns out if you want to be recognised, get a colonoscopy.
Oh, no.
Everyone knew you.
Everybody in that building knew me. And apparently there's 7 checks you need to go through because, like, every time someone comes in with a new clipboard and has to ask you the same questions because it's surgery. And they're like, oh, by the way, love Gruen.
Can't wait to look up your day.
What a great day for this.
I know. Stop talking to me. You're going to be checking my bum out a lot. Willegitimate is the new one. New South Wales, South Australia, Victoria, Queensland, WA and Tassie. You are going everywhere, mate.
In fact, I'm going to more places than that as well. Basically, what I wanted to do was I've been doing a show a year for the last, like, nearly 30 years apart from the pandemic and I wanted to – I'm so busy doing other stuff, and I was saying this to you off air, and I'm not going to make a big deal about it on air because I know it would make you feel uncomfortable, but I was so, like, proud of you as a friend for what you did last year to show
– take some time off.
Take some time off when
you
needed to do that. I, like, was inspired by what you did a bit, and I thought, you know what? Instead of doing a show a year and trying to jam it in between all this other stuff I'm doing, I'm going to do a show for 2 years. I'll give myself a year in Australia, take
good
it everywhere.
Man.
And then I'll take it overseas next year. I won't try to jam it all into the one thing. But that then meant I had to come up with an idea that wasn't going to date badly.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's just, so what? So where are we? Where's this one moving? What realm are we in? If it's not dating, is it memoir-esque?
Yeah,
is it
a little. So last year I found out something about my dad that I did not know.
Okay.
I turned 50, Dad turned 80. And for Dad's 80th birthday, my dad is a dairy farmer from country Victoria, a man of very few words,
sure,
you know.
Sure,
and, you know, just old school.
Like, lead by example.
Yeah, I mean, very much one of those guys who, like, 100% through the 80 years of his life and the 50 years of my life has shown nothing but constant love, right? And so he doesn't have to say it.
He doesn't have to hug, none of that. He can just be himself.
Hard guy to buy for, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, like never tried any of those sort of things.
Wow.
Like, likes a cricket book, likes sport, right?
Yeah, okay.
Likes one podcast because he used to like the wireless and doesn't know what podcasts are, by the way. Doesn't know how to download a podcast. Yeah. Hasn't signed up to the Listen app, unfortunately.
No, but loves philosophy.
No, he doesn't. No, oh, no, no. His son has four podcasts. He doesn't like those. That's
really?
Not his. No, he likes a podcast called The Howie Games.
Oh, The Howie Games. Yeah, Howard, very good
and,
podcast.
Very good podcast. And Mark Howard's a friend of mine from high school, which kind of helps.
Right. Yeah.
But also my dad loves sport.
Yeah.
And so for his 80th birthday, Howie agreed to, we came in here to the studios, like just down the hall from where we are basically now, and we sat in the studio with Howie, and Howie interviewed my dad.
Oh, how wonderful.
About his life for like an hour and a half. And
right.
It was incredible. And so all the kids got an opportunity to like put in a question. Like,
oh,
you know,
this is great.
That's so nice.
Because, like, you know, well, things that none of us are brave enough to ask ourselves.
Sure,
ourselves.
Yeah, sure.
And so on that podcast, I found out something about my dad that I didn't know. And
right.
I thought that was a really good way to, like, not just tell the story of that, but about getting older and seeing things through different eyes and, like, you know, maybe revisiting that idea of, you know, when you first start out in comedy, all your material's about, like, the amount of jokes I've made about my parents not being proud of me, whereas they've never brought that up.
No, not once.
I think they're quite fine with the fact
that. Of course they are. They'd love it. They'd be so proud of you. Mate, it's always lovely to
see
you.
It's always the best to see you.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
An American woman has left people gobsmacked after revealing she once was called to join her boyfriend, and his mum in the bathroom while he was getting what's described as a monthly scrub.
Oh, no.
Oh, no thanks, Mum.
What is going on
I'll look
on
after
here?
My pits and bits.
Oh, I don't
wow. No.
Becca Sinelli was horrified when she discovered just how close her boyfriend and his mother are. During the winter break of her first year at university, Becca went to visit her now ex's family home. Well, she's punted him, clearly.
Thank God.
Yeah, well.
She walked into their home and the pair said they were upstairs. And she was horrified. Oh, yeah. When she found her 22-year-old boyfriend, thank you, Matthew.
Jeez.
With his legs crossed in 3 inches of water in the bath and his mother scrubbing him down.
Oh, jeez.
No soap, no bubbles, nothing. Just a little teeny washcloth covering his, you know. And his mom standing over him like a scrub brush, scrubbing him down.
Mummy.
That's Prince Charles, by the way.
Mummy.
Or King Charles, rather.
Mummy.
Wow. There's something really graphic about the idea of it just being 3 inches of water.
I know. Yes, I know.
Put a bit more in.
And like cross-legged.
With a little flannel on his junk. The mum announced that she does this around once a month to her son as she likes to get the spots he can't reach.
Oh.
So I'm obviously shocked and they're like, oh, hey, come on in, sit on the toilet, join us, like, hang out. And I'm so shocked, I just walk in and I sit on the toilet and just talk to them for a good, like, 30 minutes. They should honestly be in jail. I should be in jail for sitting there and watching it. Like, in what world? No world, is that normal?
No.
Yeah, no.
Well,
no.
You say that, but Mum's bathed me a few times over the years.
The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. This is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Nat Bass, who we all love.
Oh, we love her.
And know from such hits as
The Road Traders. Voodoo Child.
Yeah. And the other one that I love.
Well, didn't she host Idol or one of those for a little while?
She was in Neighbours. So she played Izzy in Neighbours and had an affair with Carl, Dr. Carl.
I'm sure she hosted one of those.
So you think you can dance, says Nick.
You can dance?
Wow. She hosts that.
Yeah, I knew she'd host
something. So you think you can dance?
She's on Neighbours too.
With Nacho Pop.
Wasn't she?
Nacho Pop. You don't remember Nacho Pop?
I remember Nacho Pop. This is one of Marty's niche references.
Pop would lock it.
Yeah, look up Nacho Pop.
Nacho. Oh, that guy.
Could dance.
Yeah. Hard to explain what that is.
Your Marty was popping and locking it.
Yeah.
I've just never seen you do.
Well, there's a lot you don't know about me.
He can pop and lock.
Bring my cardboard mat in, please, and I'm going to need my helmet. Nat Bass made a mad dash to hospital overnight after sustaining a bloody injury to her wrist at her home in Byron Bay.
Bloody injury.
It was glass. We're asking the question, did the glass get you?
I know someone who unfortunately punched a window out of frustration.
No,
I don't recommend that at all. Very childish.
Mm.
Cut their entire arm up. Cut everywhere.
Mm.
Like 6 months later, there was this giant like pimple thing on their arm.
Oh yeah,
started squeezing.
Huge
bit of glass came out of it that had been in there for
just worked
months.
Its way to the top.
Yeah, I worked with a woman years ago who went. She hit the windscreen in a car accident, and for years later, she had glass coming out of her face.
Wow.
Yeah,
the body just starts to reject things.
Sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you look up Nacho Pop?
I was going through the season by season. I couldn't see Nacho.
Nacho Pop's the American one.
He was a judge. He wasn't.
Am I spelling that like nachos?
Like Nacho.
Yeah, I'm not seeing much.
He wasn't a contestant. He was a teacher.
Here he is, Nacho Pop.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Pop man.
That's him?
Yeah, that's him. Sydney guy.
Sydney?
Did the glass get you, Clint?
It didn't get me. It got a friend of mine who was working on a job of mine doing some demolition, and he was trying to take out a big window. It was like a 3 metre by 3 metre piece of glass, and it wouldn't come out, so he gave it a shake.
Yeah.
And then the glass split and went down the back of his head and scalped him.
Oh, my God.
Clint has sent through photos on Instagram. Are you ready to see a guy partially scalped?
No, I'm actually not ready.
I actually don't
want to
see that. I don't
want to
see
that. Jesus Christ. It shaved the back of his bonce off.
No.
Look at the little chunk of scalp.
They chewed the bit of skin away and then just pulled it together and gave him an instant facelift. He was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to tighten you up at the front if you've got to fill in that gap at the back. That's a side. That's like a almost 2 50-cent pieces worth of scalp that's come off the back of his head.
Matthew, don't ever look at that.
Don't ever look at that, Matthew.
I'm not looking at that either.
So Clint. That's not part of the bone, or is that all just skin?
No, that's just
and
skin.
Tissue. Mm.
Hair.
Michael.
Hair, it looks like a... Looks like
a testicle.
At first glance.
Did the glass get you, John?
No, got my mate.
Yeah, what happened, John?
Well, we were on a work site, kids.
Yeah.
Hiding out. To have a smoke.
Yep.
And went to strike a match on the window, and the window was open but broken.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Did that? The jagged piece of glass went through his forearm.
Oh.
Yeah. So but he just wrapped it up, and it was all good, but still sore.
I have a few questions.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know that we have time.
Who just wraps things up and gets on with life? Aren't you getting immediate medical attention?
Why are you lighting a match on a window?
They're only 12.
That doesn't explain anything.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
I've got a list in front of me of prohibited words that one teacher's put up online that she won't allow in the classroom.
I'm excited to hear you go through this.
Social media's gone into meltdown.
Yeah.
Let's go through some of them.
Okay.
I don't even know any of them.
Neither do I.
I'm nervous about them because they could mean anything.
Yeah.
Skip number 20.
What's number 20? Skip number 20.
How's that even on the list?
Put an asterisk in the place.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even spelt it. It begins with N.
Yeah.
What's that there?
I don't know any of these. You ate that up.
Well, that's not a word.
No.
That means, like, you did really well.
Oh, you ate
that toast up.
What's up, gang?
Well, That's silly.
That's Cap. Should I be nervous?
No, no, no. That's okay.
You say what's up, gang, you every time you come in.
Yeah, what's right. up, gang?
Hey, gang.
What's up, G-Wade? That's another one on the list. I don't know any of these. What's in the cut with my twin mate?
that's Dr. Evil when you're like doing that rap.
I'm in the cut with my twin.
Given number 20, I'm worried some of these might be...
That's what I mean. I don't know what it means.
Like Urban Dictionary or something.
Yeah. Big dog. Why can't you say big dog? Munyan? I have no idea what that means.
That's the one that I'd be careful of. I don't know what that means.
Why can't you say period?
No, I mean, they're saying, like, you say a sentence, right? And then at the end of the sentence,
period.
You go, period.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Full stop, which is so lame.
Bruh. I do hate bruh.
Read the third dot point, said Nick. Hang on, here we go.
The third, Nick.
Third one.
Said the fat controller.
Said the fat controller.
Others spelled said Percy.
Hello, Percy.
I need to move this train.
Oh, the teacher's trying to help the class communication skills improve and realise how important they are for life.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, that number 20, that's just...
Yeah, just don't say that.
No.
Yeah, no.
It's offensive.
A bad word.
The kids hate it when I say number 20.
You shouldn't say it!
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
Chances, those strange coincidences in life. We've been doing this for a little while now, but I think this is the first time we've done it.
I've been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, under different names.
I just rebadge it.
Yeah.
Because it's brilliant.
Yeah. It is.
Because sometimes in life you just have those moments where you go, what are the chances?
Yeah. And some of them are bigger than others. You know, some of these stories we've heard have been incredible.
But
yeah.
They're all incredible. I mean, the one, William, where the woman was sitting at the football and,
my favorite.
And the dad's name.
And address.
There was confetti, which was ripped up from a Yellow Pages book.
Yeah.
And her late father.
His name and address.
His name and contact number just landed in her lap.
What? I mean, what are the chances of that happening?
The craziest one we've ever heard.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, I've got one.
Yeah.
No, I'm not claiming that it's amazing.
Right.
But it's fun.
Is it it's a small world or?
Oh, maybe.
Okay.
Like a how about that?
Yeah. So, my cousin Natalie.
Mm.
As, you know,
I'm off, Nat.
I know you are.
Oh, why?
don't even start.
She got sunburn. If you don't respect the sun.
I'm right off her.
Okay.
Anyway, she was at my house the other day before darts day.
Cool.
And my back was not good all last week. And I was like, geez, I'm gonna have to go see my osteo. And she goes, I used to have a really hot osteo. I go, me too. I go, I saw him all the time. I go, the last time I went, my hip was in spasm. He had to get on top of me and full stretch me out. And it was really awkward because he was so attractive. And she's like, yeah. She's like, same. She's like, his name was Michael. And I was like, mine was named Michael.
Mm.
And she said, was he kind of Indian looking? And I was like, yes. It was the same hot osteo.
That is pretty good.
Yes.
I mean, it's a city of 6 million people.
Of all the hot osteos in the world.
You know, to be sharing an osteo same with your cousin, it's low level.
No.
Well, you did say it was low level, to be fair.
No.
It's not as bad as the tennis guy.
I think it is.
No.
Basement level, what are the chances?
No.
You and your cousin went to the same osteo.
Think about it. We've never spoken about it, ever.
Okay.
We've never... I said, did I recommend him? It, of course it's low level.
But you
it's
did
really
say
low
that.
Level. And you know how I know it's low level? It involves Nat. That's how I know it's low level. It is right out of the basement, this one, because of her.
B3.
If I found out that Troy and I went to the same dentist, I'd go,
No, but if you had talked about how hot he was and then you realised...
What about Troy? I wouldn't bring it up. Hello, Cameron.
Hello, Marty and fellow people. And Laura, welcome back.
Oh, good on you, Cameron. How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic, Marty. I've got a perler for you.
Good, please.
Well, back in 2005, when speed dating was the in thing around Melbourne, a friend of mine asked me to be a host, which you show people where a bar is, you know, check in, put their coats in, feel comfortable, get a drink, mingle, that sort of usual thing.
Mingle. It's a beautiful word. Yeah. Mingle.
Anyway, thank you. Anyway, this lady says to me, oh, can you help me find a man? I said, okay, no worries. Let's go this way. So I take her to meet this man. I said, Sylvia, this is Mark. Mark, this is Sylvia. And she's getting a bit upset and a little bit anxious and started cowering on my shoulder and getting really upset. And he's there laughing a little bit. I said, what's wrong? Have a chat. She goes, no, I can't speak to him. I said, why? You're single? He's single? Have a little chat. But he's like, no, I can't speak to him. I said, why? Just whisper on me. And she goes, he's my ex-husband.
Oh, he was her ex-husband. He's turned up for a bit of speed dating too.
Like that song.
What?
Which song?
The Pina Colada song.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's not my name. By the Tin Tins.
Oh, yeah, the Tin Tins.
Hello, Kay. Hi. Hey. Wonderful, mate. How are you, buddy?
Good, mate.
Got a story for us?
Me and my future wife actually have a few coincidences, actually.
Yeah.
We share a birth date, and our sisters both share a birth date.
That's a good start.
And then about 25 years after we actually, oh, sorry, 25 years ago, before we actually met each other, my godparents brought their house off her godparents that was next door to her as a kid, and we found out that we actually played together as kids before we even really knew each other.
Isn't that amazing? What are the chances?
That's really.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
What went wrong at the beach is the question we're asking now. A mass rescue was conducted at a beach in Sydney's east, which is Baldwin.
So silly.
A lot of Sydney and Melbourne these days. Several people were caught in a rip. Four people got in the rip at Bronte Beach at around 8 p.m. on Saturday evening. What are you doing swimming at 8 o'clock at
night? You know what that is? Shark dinner.
It's dinner time for sharks. It is.
Sharks dinner time.
Snacks.
Good.
I just had a glitch.
That's okay. Yeah.
It's still pretty bright at 8 p.m. in Sydney.
Yeah, but it's dark.
It's getting on dusk, and that's when they hunt. Yeah,
well, and it gets darker there earlier.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah, because they're further east. A man and three women, all aged in their 30s, were pulled from the water. They were later taken to hospital. Da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-dum.
Right.
When my brother and I, you know those classic Lilos, blue on one side, red on the other, that weird canvassy fabric, the blow-up pillow, the proper Lilos.
Yeah.
Not like modern-day Lilos that won't last a summer in the pool.
Yeah.
I'm talking those old school that you could sleep on.
Yeah.
They were like a separate mattress.
Yes.
Me and my brother decided to take one of those out in the surf and catch a wave in once. And as it picked us up, he was behind me and it picked him up. Obviously, it bent because it's a Lilo. And his teeth went into the top of my head. His two front teeth. And I was like,
ow. But his teeth would have hurt him.
Oh, my God. Jeez. I mean, mine was a skull injury. His was a tooth injury. What would you prefer, skull or tooth?
I'm going to have to go skull.
Hello, Katie.
First time, long time.
Oh, good on you, Katie!
And lovely to hear from you, mate. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Well done.
My first day back on the tools today too.
Oh,
what do you do for a living, Katie?
Oh, I don't know if you want to know. I'm a nurse.
Here we go.
First call of the year.
Another first responder. Wrong.
What kind of nurse?
I by trade an emergency nurse.
Ooh.
Do admin these days.
Yeah, okay.
Yawn.
I've watched all of ER, Katie. I know what it takes. It's tough.
Well, come on board. We've got plenty of places. I'm sure I could slide you in somewhere.
Are you doing a soft solicit for nurses?
Maybe I should go and do a day as a nurse.
Why?
And see how terrible.
You can do a day here. I'll vomit into a kidney-shaped bowl for you, and you can wipe me out.
I already do that sometimes for you.
And there's your day in nursing.
Lauren Marty needs flipping.
Yeah, roll me over and put some cream on this.
Work experience done.
Oh, sort it.
Maybe this might change your mind on nurses and how heroic they actually are.
I guarantee you it won't, but go ahead, Katie.
All right. So 8 years ago, almost to the day, I was on the beach on holidays and there was some commotion going on about 100 metres down down the beach, and we literally had pulled a gentleman out of the water who was in his 50s. Cool. And we thought he'd actually drowned. He was underwater for about 5 minutes. He was gone for all money. Anyway, so myself and another nurse that was there, we stripped his wetsuit off and started CPR. And
I'm glad you said that. Strange time to start getting funny with a bloke.
long story short, we did 9 minutes of CPR and one shock, and we got him back.
Nine minutes. Wow.
So you reckon across the five he was unconscious and the nine you did CPR, he was unconscious that whole time?
Correct.
Jesus.
And we got him back, and the ambulance arrived about 5 minutes after we got him back, scooted him off to hospital, and I was able to find out that he actually remembered what he had for breakfast that day. So pretty amazing outcome.
What does that mean?
Wow.
He was
conscious.
Yeah,
she had
no brain injury or anything.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
And he actually didn't drown. He had a heart attack while he was surfing. So,
classic.
Pretty amazing story. He's now a grandfather.
And
we contact each other every year around Christmas time because that's about when it happens.
Oh, wow. Wow.
What a happy ending. Isn't that classic nurses ringing up to say how great they are?
You love nurses.
Thank you, Katie. Classic nursing behaviour.
The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. This is the Marty Sheargold Show.
What were they doing behind the wheel is the question we're asking now. I saw a woman once eating a bowl of cereal whilst driving her car with a spoon.
What?
Yeah.
But you're going to get milk everywhere.
Oh, the whole thing was a disaster. I just looked at her and thought, my God, what a simpleton you are.
Like, just have an up and go.
Just drive your car.
Or have an up and go.
Focus
on the job.
Yeah, the driving. Really hungry.
Yeah. If you're so hungry that you have to have something, have an up and go.
Is it illegal to eat and drive? I actually don't know. Because there are some meals that I reckon I've had.
I've eaten a burger while driving. I'm not going to lie.
You seem nervous.
If you've got dipping sauce between your knees, is that...
No, you can't be doing that.
Because I haven't done that.
No, you're just asking.
I'm just asking.
Is it okay to have dipping sauce between your knees? New South Wales police fined a man for watching cricket footage whilst driving during the Australia Day long weekend. He was watching the Australia Day cricket in full screen mode on his mobile phone. Bang, there.
Turned it landscape.
This happened with me when I was in an Uber with someone recently, but I was in the back seat and I looked down to the front passenger seat and I'm not kidding, this guy had a full laptop on his floor and like another one next to it and was watching multiple cricket games. Maybe one, but from different angles. I don't know. But he had two screens up there.
No,
but
it would have been two different games.
It must have been, yeah. But he had all these screens up and he would just every now and then just look down there on the passenger seat floor.
Of an Uber.
Yep.
Did you take his details? You should have reported him to the police.
I would never do that.
And deported.
He might not have been Australian.
Absolutely. The Honda driver's phone was held in a cradle attached to the dashboard to the right of the steering wheel.
Well, at least it was in a cradle.
Right.
The driver was so engrossed in the match he didn't even see police on a fully marked motorcycle alongside.
Come on, mate.
How embarrassing.
Yeah, that is.
You're just loving the cricket so much, then you just look a little bit.
You're laughing.
There's a motorcycle cop sitting next to your driver's side window. The marked motorcycle pulled up alongside him and then continued when the lights changed to green, and when stopped and spoken to, he said, "I was caught in the moment."
Sounds like it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Pete.
Yeah, hi there, guys.
How are you, mate?
Oh, mate, got a great one for you. I saw recently.
Yes.
On Mount Dandy Road.
Yeah.
A guy driving along, fairly heavy traffic, a takeaway Chinese container, sitting on the steering wheel, looked like Chow Mein, chowing into it with chopsticks.
That's next level, isn't it? How do you use chopstick while driving?
Well, you can't. You've got to do one or the other.
Yeah.
Chopsticks is... Yeah, go on, Pete.
He was obviously very well polished at it because he wasn't dropping any... There was nothing dropping off, so...
Okay. He's an experienced chopstick eater.
Rice with chopsticks is...
Jeez. Yeah.
And driving.
Thanks, Pete. Norala.
Hey, how are you going?
How are you, Norala?
Good.
Can I say first time, long time?
Good. Oh, yeah,
Norella. We don't know how to say your name.
Is it Norella?
Norella?
Yeah, correct.
Norella. As in Corella.
As in Nutella.
Yeah. Yes.
Should we give her another clap now that we know her name?
Now we know it's Norella.
Yeah.
Good on you, Norella.
Nice.
Yay!
What did you see them doing in the car, Norella?
It's something I see fairly on the reg, and that is women doing chin hair plucking.
Oh, chin hair plucking. Very specific.
It really is.
So were they keeping tweezers in the car?
Yeah, I think so. And basically, like, because natural sunlight's a perfect light.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you're in the old car going nowhere, I see it seriously regularly.
Norella, you do it, don't you?
Nah, I've done laser, but...
She's lasered it up. Lasered your chin, Corella. Corella.
Corella.
I was using to remember Norella's name. I just called Norella Corella. Apologies, Norella.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
Cherry Ripe. Celebrating its 100th birthday this year.
Yep.
Yeah. First invented in 1924 by Sir Macpherson Robertson. It's my absolute go-to.
I love the cherry ripe.
I'm not like that wild about cherry ripe.
Fans of it seem to be wild for it.
Yeah. And the dark chocolate cherry ripe is elite.
Yeah.
If I'm at the servo and feeling a little naughty, I'm not worried about my titties.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't pay for fuel.
Sneak one. I don't pay for fuel and I steal a cherry ripe.
That's the one I'll get if I'm at the servo, a cherry ripe.
I'll always get a cherry ripe.
Yeah.
Chicken twisties for me.
Oh,
if that's what, is
I
that
love
your go-to
twisties.
If you're at the servo?
Yeah.
Because that's the question we're asking now.
Yeah.
What's your go-to when you pull into the servo?
I'm a jerky guy.
I'll get jerky too.
I get jerky. Yeah.
When I drove from Brisbane to Melbourne, I reckon I got three batches of it.
It's delicious.
It's just a great high protein snack.
It's just protein.
Yeah.
And a bit of salt.
Oh, yeah.
It's very too rich for me, jerky.
I love it.
Too rich?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It doesn't really agree with me.
What's your go-to at the servo?
I love a sausage roll.
So do I.
I need a Mylanta to follow it up, but it's very good.
Mm.
Also, a lemon slice.
At the servo? What servo are you going to?
7-Elevens have them.
7-Elevens have full bakery sections and things like that.
Oh, really?
A lemon slice?
It's lovely.
Don't you love
it's one of the gayest things you've ever said.
Oh, Marty.
It's not in his top 10.
No, you're right. It's actually not in your top 10.
I love the sandwiches at 7-Eleven.
Yeah,
beautiful. What do you got on Insta, Will?
At Marty Sheargold Show on Insta. Sam says, go-to servo snack, 4-in-20 snag roll, pie, 500 milliliter can of Coke, no sugar.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Right.
That's his go-to.
Very specific. Sausage roll and Coke,
a can of Coke,
no sugar.
Yeah.
Steve says yellow V and a twirl breakaway.
What's a yellow V?
Twirl breakaway?
Yeah. A twirl breakaway. It must be a different kind of twirl.
Yeah. One you can break away.
Like one of those pull-apart loaf things, but a tear breakaway.
A tear,
oh, God.
A twirl breakaway.
Mm.
Nice.
What else you got?
It's Sam. He says, I'm ashamed to admit it, but when I was younger, my fave servo go-to was a microwave hot dog.
Yeah. Oh, yes!
We were just saying.
What was I thinking, says Sam.
No, they were great.
He was thinking straight.
Absolutely. We were saying before off-air that whatever goes at the 7-Eleven for me or at any servo, like those old chicken rolls that you could get,
and
you just pop them in the microwave too. I don't care. Yeah.
What's your go-to, John?
Mate, can't go without a Magnum ice cream.
Still one of the great ice creams, the Magnum.
Every time. And with the fuel, the missus doesn't know I buy it.
Can't see it. If you eat something in your car, John, no one knows that it doesn't exist. Do you agree?
Mate, what's in the car stays in the car,
right. So true. Oh, yeah. So true.
Thanks, John.
Particularly if you tie that person up, John.
Exactly right, mate.
Don't get involved.
John gets it.
Casey in Granville.
Hello, Casey. What's your go-to?
Be a strawberry Big M and a chunky Kit Kat.
Oh, my God.
Strawberry Big
Good.
M. Big I've M's. Never been a strawberry milk man.
When it comes to Big M's, I am.
I'm a coffee milk man.
I was discussing this with some friends last night. I don't think strawberry milk is in my top 5 flavoured milk.
No.
No.
Chocolate?
I like banana.
Caramel.
Caramel. Egg flip, even. I'll take an egg flip.
I have a strawberry.
Coffee for me. Matthew?
I do love strawberry, but it's never strong enough.
That's the gayest thing you've ever said.
You need to stop saying
it. Is it right up there?
Now you just said it. Just
you know you're going to wind people up.
Mate.
Matthew just keeps raising the bar.
Matthew just keeps raising the bar. I'm only reacting to what I'm hearing.
And also, Matthew, you didn't need to say that. You knew he would have said that.
Well, that's
you
why
didn't
I
have to say strawberry.
I was asked. I wasn't going to volunteer it.
All right, Apsy, what's your go-to at the servo?
First time, long time.
Good on you, Apsy.
Better.
Really good.
Better.
So I go with the chicken and mayo roll and a vanilla Coke, and then the last one I reckon Matthew will like is the gay time ice cream.
Yeah, I love it.
Cool.
That's all when I do.
He's our mate.
He's our mate, Apsy.
Oh, my gosh.
Microwavable chicken and mayo roll.
That's the one we were talking
about.
That's
the one we were talking about.
Yeah. And a vanilla Coke is my favourite Coke.
Mm.
That's my go-to.
I don't know how that chicken roll is so wet and
delicious.
Wonderful delicious. At the same time.
That's the gayest thing you've ever
Stop!
What do you got on Insta, William?
Daniel says, gotta be a Chiquito.
Yum!
Yeah, Chiquito's great chocolate bar.
We had Jay, who says, Bubble O' Bill for me every time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know the football team.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Marty, look who has joined us.
Yes. Beautiful Peter Rosedale.
Oh, wow.
So exciting.
I thought I was going for an intimate interview with Marty.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's 25 people.
Sorry, you don't say much, don't worry.
Wow, great to see your faces.
We love you, Pete.
Thank you. I've known
you forever.
Yeah, you have.
We used to hang out a lot in the old days.
Sure
boys shooting hoops and carrying on like
coming
kids.
Coming out of my place, taking small packets of chips out of the cupboard. I had little kids. Oh, wow, little packets.
Because Pete had kids.
I did.
So Pete had snacks. Still got them. He still got them. But I wasn't a kid, no. And I didn't have kids, so I didn't have snacks. Mm. But when you went to Pete's place, cupboard full of snacks.
Tiny teddies.
Mate, I would go mental at Pete's joint. It was a snack off.
It was a total snack off.
And then we'd go out the back, shoot some hoops, carry on like kids.
Oh, yeah.
Tennis court over the road.
If you didn't
we had a couple of hits of tennis. Pete had the keys to the tennis court.
I had everything. He was like, I had it all back then.
It was like, how'd you get the keys?
National exposure. It was everywhere.
You're always busy, but this is a good one. Loz and I saw Chicago the last time it was in Melbourne.
About 4 years ago, maybe, with Nat Bass.
Yeah, that's right.
Nat Bass.
You're about to debut the new season of Chicago, which, of course, is playing...
Her Majesty's.
You're playing Amos Hart, who people that haven't seen the live show may have seen the film. That role was played by John C. Reilly and, of course, has the belting song Mr. Cellophane.
That's sure does.
The best song in the show.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I love that
it's
song.
It's so highlight. Good.
Oh, mine's only boring.
No!
Not because I punch it out every night, I suppose.
No.
No, I don't. Look at my publicist.
Don't say that, Peter.
No, it's a great song. It's extremely popular and it's a great part to get because I don't do much, but when people love me in the end.
Yeah.
So, again, it's extremely, you know,
is it a busy onstage part? I can't remember.
No, it's like, I reckon, 12 minutes out of the 2 hours.
So you're just being Pete Rose little backstage.
Watching stuff, watching footy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Having a sandwich.
Oh, getting centered, of course.
it's the longest running American musical on Broadway and the West End ever.
27 years.
Yeah. It's the longest running production now currently playing Broadway. They reckon 34 million people worldwide have seen it in 38 countries.
It's a lot.
Wow.
It's my God, I didn't realise it was that big. So we've got Zoe Ventura as Velma Kelly. Lucy, I hope I'm saying this correctly, Maunder.
Nails it.
As Roxy Hart.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big role, isn't it?
Huge. Oh, yes, yes.
That's a big role.
Oh, she's got a great set of pipes.
Anthony Warlow, who of course we all
speaking
know.
Speaking of pipes, wow.
Nice guy, Anthony.
Oh, beautiful man.
Yeah, nice.
Old. We're like the two old guys in the Muppets.
Just having a chat.
just picking on all the young folk.
And he's just done everything.
He's done everything.
He's playing Billy Flynn. Who did we see that we thought was a little underdone?
It was Jason Donovan.
Razzle dazzle.
Sorry to say.
No.
Hey, I wasn't there.
Mate,
hey,
no, I was there and comment. I thought he was challenged.
Okay. He wasn't challenged. Well, he's no Anthony Warlow.
By the part.
I thought he was challenged by the part.
Yes, not actually mentally.
He seemed a little soft.
Oh, did he?
I was looking for a bit of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Warlow is full of that. Full of that big forehand, cross court.
Well, of course, because Warlow is Warlow.
Got the pipes.
He's one of the greats.
Gravitas.
Gravitas. I never saw him in Phantom of the Opera. Has anyone seen him in Phantom of the Opera?
No.
All right. See, I don't like musicals in general.
I love musicals.
Do you?
I love them.
You coming to see this one? Is anyone coming?
Of course.
Yes.
Oh, really? Are you kidding?
I'm
going to come and see you.
Any of my comedy friends would bother. I didn't even bring them up and say, do you want to come?
Mate, I'm absolutely coming. Yeah. When's it on?
Next week.
From the 23rd of March, Her Majesty's. How long's the run in Melbourne, do we know,
Pete? Couple of months.
Couple of months.
Couple of months.
Nice.
Month and, beautiful. Couple months and a bit.
So we've got a chance.
We'll have a team trip.
Yeah, we will.
We'll have dinner.
That'd be
and we'll try and catch up in the meantime, Pete, at some point.
With the European.
With some men that we love.
We love men.
And we'll have a cheeky drink.
Cheeky,
and maybe the
drinking.
Ox tongue.
Oh, I love tongues.
Pete, it's so lovely to see you, mate. Thanks for coming.
Thanks so much for having me.
Cheers.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
What did you lose control of is the question we're asking now. Things just got big on you, got away from you. There's a video here of a plane that has skidded across a wet and icy runway before safely returning to the runway to continue its dirty taxi to the apron.
Dirty taxi.
Bringing up some images I wasn't expecting. The dirty taxi.
You don't want a dirty taxi.
Not to the apron.
Not to the apron.
Troy, you're an aviator. Any clues on what a dirty taxi to the apron is?
Well, it's just the plane.
I think
covered
it's filth because it slid off the runway of the mud.
Yeah. Spent most of its landing on the grass.
Oh, I thought a dirty taxi was like a technique.
Oh, no. No, this one's coming sideways.
I thought it was like a... a genre, like a search term.
No, dirty taxi.
Well, it could be. Check Urban Dictionary.
Don't.
It's
been my experience with Urban Dictionary. Nothing's worth looking up on there. What did you lose control of is the question we're asking. I don't know how this pilot's got this thing back under control. I think it's just inertia.
It must be.
I don't think that front wheel is correcting that thing going as sideways as it was.
It's just luck, I reckon, that they're able to get it back on the actual runway.
It comes down and then it's immediately aquaplaning.
Yeah. Through ice, I suspect, obviously, with it's snowing there.
Heading sideways, somehow he straightens it up. I'll never know how he did it. What did you lose control of is the question we're asking. Years ago, I went go-karting, and the bloke I was go-karting with was like, mate, if you come off the track, just let go of the wheel because you could break your thumbs.
Oh, really?
And I was like, wow. Yeah. I was like, okay, I will.
Yeah.
And I went off the track, of course, being inexperienced. And then I was just in a nightmare of 360s.
Oh, jeez.
A nightmare of wet grass 360s. And I just let go of the wheel and I was like, Whee! Oh, wow, I'm a passenger. Wow. I'm totally out of control.
It's like he hit a banana peel.
It was fine. I mean, there was enough runoff room for everything to just stop. But I did lose control of that go-kart.
Mark. What did you lose control of?
I lost control of a trailer.
Oh.
I bought a trailer from slightly dodgy from a Facebook market group.
Yeah.
He assured me it was wonderful. It's those big rigs that can handle a lawnmower. I have ramps and everything for it.
Sure.
Driving at home, I start to have a few cars kind of trying to beep at me and wave at me. I wonder what's going on.
Yeah.
And apparently what was going on was the back wheel was wobbling because the axle was rusted through.
Oh, no.
Next thing you know, I'm coming past the police station and I see a trailer wheel fly off past the front of my car and go just over the top of the roof of an oncoming car.
Oh, my God.
Go 200 metres down the road.
Jesus. The wheels come off.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. the trailer behind me, fishtailing everywhere.
Oh, no. What a nightmare.
Flying.
That's the marketplace for you on Facebook, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, he drove it just last week. It was fine.
Yeah, of course it was. How are you, John?
Yeah, well, thank you.
What happened,
buddy?
Thank you.
Probably about 6 or 7 years old. We're doing the Queensland trip with the caravan. Heading, I think, down past Dame Nellie Melba's place along that to Yarra Junction.
Yeah,
Dad lost control of the caravan.
One way. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. The caravan jackknifed. Dad's sweating bullets, and I look across and go, "Hey, Dad, I can see the caravan door."
Oh, that's Jesus!
Shut up! Trying to control. The Marty Sheargold Show on Triple M.